right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you're ready to talk about some awesome indie games. What's up, Tommy?
Not much. We got a great episode for you all. We have played Jotun Slayer Hordes of Hell with only one L. H-E single hockey stick. It is going to be an interesting talk here. It is in early access. And right now, 10% off until February 4th. Actually, that's quite some time. We're maybe it gives you a week when this comes out. That's not bad. We take that. Now, it's also $9.99, I should say. Not just 10% off of what? 100? No, we got a great episode for you all today. We're going to talk about Jotun Slayer, Hordes of Hell. We're going to hop into some indie game news first. So stick around if you want to hear about the game, or skip ahead if you know, you're like, oh, they keep talking about their days and, and you know, life touching grass, as kids say. Yeah, stick around, folks. We got a great episode for you all, but before we do talk about the news, we do have to catch up. What's going on? How you doing, buddy?
I am doing pretty good. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, so I feel pretty good about that. That was nice over the weekend. What else did I do over the weekend? I don't even remember. Went grocery shopping. Things are expensive, and you know, that's just how it is. We've actually been buying, there's a brand of beef, Pat LaFrieda, that is, they're basically, if you know, like Bell and Evans chicken, this is like the Bell and Evans, because we love Bell and Evans. This is like the Bell and Evans of the beef world, we would say. It seems to be a more popular thing I see on menus around us in Jersey, but they've got like hamburger patties you can buy. We got some ground beef, and it's just really damn good. It's just, you know, sometimes you get beef and you're just like, it's not, I know you're not on the beef train, but sometimes, sometimes it's just like, man, it just doesn't taste that great. Even beef we've gotten from like farms and stuff, we've like tried to order from there, and it's just like, sometimes you're just like, I don't know, something's off. Maybe I'm just used to like, I don't know,
the chemicals.
The chemicals, that's probably it. But I don't know, Pat LaFrieda, it seems like it's like a higher quality one. So it's been good. So check it out if you're interested in some high quality beef. So we got some of that. And other than that, though, honestly, I was just waiting for football this past weekend. I was just like nervous and just trying to kill time playing this game that we're going to talk about in the podcast, playing some Tyrant's Realm, which I recommended last week, which is an awesome Souls-like roguelite game. Shout out to Kaymor again. I shouted him out in the Fresh Juice Discord today, just letting them know that this game is awesome. I've been having a lot of fun playing it. Trying to kill some time with that, doing some chores and stuff around the house. Trying to organize too. You know, what I've learned with organizing the house from everything I've seen is you got to buy like bins. Everyone's buying bins, like small bins, anything to organize, and you label all that stuff. So that's what I'm trying to do more of, just so that it's a little bit of a weight off my mind. So that sort of stuff, just trying to fill my time until football, basically. But how are you doing, Tommy? How's everything been going lately?
Everything's good. You told me how you've been. Getting bins. How about that?
Oh!
You know, hey, oh! you know, not much going on, just the work. And then Friday, we tried this new restaurant by us. Italian restaurant, and my God, it was like real good. You know, I looked at the menu and the vibes, and I was like, I gotta try this place out. It just opened, and it's like a small room, kind of. It's like maybe like the twice the size of this room, right? Is the restaurant, and there's like 30 tables in there, so it's really crowded. So if you don't like that, you're probably not gonna like it. But like, it kind of felt, I don't know, like old school Italian in that kind of way, like a little bit more, you know, social. like everybody's kind of talking, and you can only really focus in on, you know, who you're talking to at the table because there's so much kind of like talk and white noise. But the food was really good. I did try some beef because Lady Fresh got some meatballs that were just, I was like, I gotta try them. Try them. They had, I think they had mortadella in the meatballs, like little pieces of mortadella, which was just like, holy smokes. Just like that nice little salty, fatty pop in the middle of their bite. It was really good. And also got like this pizza with mortadella, pistachio pesto, you know, arugula on top. Oh my God. It was like just so good. But yeah, that was Friday. And then I was recording the set review for the newest Flesh and Blood set this weekend. So I spent a total of like 6 hours talking into this mic this weekend, which, you know, I like it. It's a labor of love. And got a shout out to Bill from the Spike Feeders, big Magic the Gathering YouTube channel that always hops on for some reason, still agrees to do it. You're not getting paid, Bill. But no, Bill's the best. And, you know, I can't believe he keeps doing it. That was a lot of fun. Also did a pre-release for the new set of Flesh and Blood. So played some cards, went 4-0. So, you know, took it down. So that was cool. And then I was recording during the Eagles game, but I watched the Bills game. That was kind of a heartbreaker. And geez, I think that's it. You know, watch some, you know, TV with Lady Fresh. We're watching a show. I've mentioned this already that I'm going to put on the Rec Room, but, you know, I just want to at least finish the first season, you know. So it's good, though. It's like one of those ones that was like, I should have watched this 20 years ago. Yeah. So if you can probably guess what it is.
The Sopranos.
Yes, it is.
Is it The Sopranos?
Yeah, it's The Sopranos. Oh, okay.
I was just guessing.
Yeah, that's it.
Because we just watched that, or I watched it for the first time this year. Or last.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And that, I think it was in my Rec Room, but yeah, there you go. Was it, how far are you into it?
We're in the first season, like a little bit halfway through the first season. We only just started. So it's great. It's so good. So I should have listened to people a long time ago and just watched it. But that's what's been going on. But we do have some indie game news. First, you mentioned it already. We do have a Discord. Please check it out. It is in the show notes below or to the side, wherever. No, it's all below these days. I remember when the description would be on the right side of a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago.
Yeah. And they had the star ratings. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, before the like button. It's just like you rated it, you know, the good old days.
Yeah, crazy times. Now, you did pop something in here that's actually pretty disappointing, but the Celeste developers have canceled their new game, Earthblade, which I guess was going to be the next, not installation, but the next game from these devs.
Yeah. In 2021, Extremely OK Games announced that they were working on Earthblade, and they set a launch window actually of 2023, but they pushed it back to 2024, and then they delayed it kind of indefinitely. They didn't really give a date after that, but they recently posted a blog post kind of giving an update, and they basically said there won't be any more delays because they're canceling the game entirely. And unfortunately, one of the reasons that they're canceling it is because of some internal disagreements over who should hold the IP rights to Celeste. And actually, their art director ended up leaving the company as a result of those disagreements. So just not really, you know, what you want to see from a studio that's so talented, right? You know, with Celeste being the hit that it was, a lot of people looking forward to their next game, and it wasn't because of money, or, you know, obviously it's one of the reasons, but the major reason doesn't seem like it was because of money or any support that they weren't getting. It was from internal disagreements over who should have the IP for Celeste. So unfortunate. I do feel like Earthblade may eventually come back, though, because it seems like they didn't want this to happen, but perhaps Earthblade might come back, because it sounds really cool. It looks kind of cool. So I'd love for it to kind of come back. But apparently right now, the remaining team at Extremely OK Games is just decided to work on some smaller projects. So we'll see what the studio does. But yeah, definitely some sad news for people that were looking forward to their next game.
Yeah, it is really sad, because I really love Celeste, and this game looked more up my alley than even Celeste was, right? This is like Earth Sword kind of like really fantasy driven, rather than, you know, the kind of Ice Climber-esque game that Celeste was. Kind of would have been interested to see what the take was here, because I look at this, I even look at the logo here, and it starts to remind me of Legend of Zelda or something like that, or even Final Fantasy in a way. So like,
yeah,
was going to be interesting to see what it was going to be like, but unfortunately kind of sucks. But hey, listen, you could still have hope, and hopefully the smaller projects that they chose to go work on come out and are quite good as well. And that all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So,
yep.
A little bit disappointing. Also saw that Ubisoft laid off people in closed studios, but that's become the norm. It sucks. But let's talk about Jotun Slayer, Hordes of Hell.
Now, is it? I'm curious. Is it Jotun or is it Jotun? I have no idea.
I don't know. It could be Jotun.
I have no idea. Like, is Jotun too much of kind of a Spanish way to say it versus a?
I don't think so, actually. Nordic because
way to say it.
I think like a Jarl is like a J, and that's like a. I mean, it's a flesh and blood character, but it's also I think like a nobility kind of title from that region. So. Yeah. It could be Jotun Slayer. Listen, spell it in the comments below, folks. Let us know if we're saying it correctly.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Jotun with a J. So we'll see. Should we look it up?
Yeah, I'll look it up right now. Let's see if... go ahead.
While you do that, we'll talk about what this game is. Hordes of Hell is a gripping roguelike Horde survivor game set in the dark realms of Norse mythology. Fight waves of enemies to earn divine blessings of ancient Viking deities, explore hostile worlds, and face powerful bosses. Become a godlike warrior in this ultimate showdown. Now, gameplay. Let's talk about it. It is a Vampire Survivors-like. You know, this is not anything really new that we're seeing here, although it definitely has the skin of a much more big budget game, right? This is a really good looking version of these games, it's coming out in early access, and it doesn't really feel like it a lot. I mean, there's some issues I felt like within the menu system, but in the gameplay itself, I didn't really have any issues. You get to choose from initially one of two players, and then you can unlock two more currently. One was kind of like a berserker warrior type character, and then there was a kind of, I guess, a necromancer of sorts, like a witch style character. And then you can unlock a ranger, and then I didn't unlock the fourth one, which I think was like a fire sorceress or something like that.
Yeah.
Now you pop in and you start killing enemies that are just spawning everywhere, and you can turn on your auto shoot and auto aim a lot like something like Halls of Torment and a lot of these other games of the same genre. And you have certain kinds of like abilities that you can unlock as you level up throughout the game, right? This is not a lot of new in terms of like how the game progresses. Like the gameplay loop is very similar to these games. You level up, you get to choose one of two categories to level up, and then you choose within that that category, like a sub category of something to level up. Now, the main two categories you can have are basically split up into your class or one of these deities, right? You know, you have like Thor, which will give you like lightning powers, or if you're like the berserker or whatever, you can just upgrade that class's stuff. You also have objectives that pop up throughout the level. Certain, it will give you whether it's easy, medium, or hard as you kind of do harder game modes going through the game. And they have certain rewards, and the rewards mainly are the in-game currency that you use to kind of upgrade your potential upgrades within the further runs. So all very roguelike-y stuff, not a lot of new, but it is a really good interpretation of this kind of game. I felt like it was great to look at and a lot of fun to just do the thing. I mean, if you like these kinds of games, I think you're going to like this. I will say that it does get pretty hard, right? I beat it on easy, and then I was actually having a tough time with normal, right? It becomes, it scales pretty quickly, and you're like, well, I got to keep playing so I can get more gold to upgrade different things and see what's going on here. I really like the Revenant, which was the ranger character, you know, kind of having like this wolf style spirit that follows you around to do extra damage, and then you can kind of increase that. Now, in terms of other kinds of like controls that you have other than just moving around auto aiming, you can choose to like aim yourself with the joysticks or your mouse and also attack yourself with whatever input that is. But I was playing an auto aim and auto shoot or whatever. And you do have the option on your left bumper or your right bumper. Left bumper is your like your hero power. It's just like a nice little blast radius kind of attack that does like a like area damage around you and sometimes helps you escape like big hordes. And then you have a dash on your right bumper that sometimes you can upgrade the dash to do extra stuff while you're doing the dash, which is pretty cool. But overall, I mean, it's a fun game. I mean, I will say I would like to have unlocked more, but you know, I played about 2 hours and I kept dying at the end of the normal run. So I didn't really get to unlock a little bit more, but I was kind of stuck on the first level or first area for the whole thing. But I still didn't get really bored of it. It was still like a nice time killer. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this game, you know, even though I didn't feel like it was like doing something really new, it did a lot of the core concepts of a game like this really well. You know, everything from, you know, the graphics, we'll talk about the art, to like the UI, the gameplay, the way you unlock things. I thought there was also, by the way, I did look up how to pronounce Jotun, as we were saying it. Apparently it's a Icelandic word. And it's actually apparently pronounced Jotun.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's attributed, it's not just giants, it's attributed to many mythological creatures in Norse mythology, like giants, trolls, elves, dwarves, all that sort of stuff. So makes kind of sense in the context of the game. But there you go, Jotun, apparently. But yeah, I think something I really like about this game is the variance of how you can do the runs. There's so many different, you know, obviously you have like the kind of roguelike elements, right, where you're choosing different upgrades. But even back at the main menu, you know, you have that skill shop that you were mentioning where you can have the skill points and you can refund those skill points at any time. So if you, you know, you're not, it's in fear of like, oh, I just put a bunch of points into like a certain tree and now I don't really like playing that character anymore, or I don't really like those god upgrades. You can just refund it and you can kind of switch things around. So that I did that a few times where I was like, I didn't really like, you know, like I played the Berserker and I was like, you know what? I think I'm liking the Revenant more. I actually did like the Revenant quite a bit as well. So let me put some more points into that. So you have that kind of adds to the variance. And then you also have, you know, you can unlock different weapons for each character and different like skins basically for each one that I think have different attributes on those skins as well, I believe. And then in the game itself, I found that every time I would do a run, I was never doing a run in the same way. where I would be like, okay, I'm going to put a bunch of points into, you know, the Thor upgrades, because there's a lot of like electricity and lightning in those upgrades. I did that for like one run, maybe two runs. And I was like, eh, you know, this is good, but I want to try out like Odin's tree or Freya's tree and see what that's kind of about. And then you have your own class tree as well. And the things that you're unlocking in the skill shop are giving you new options that can pop up in, you know, in those kind of upgrades that you get as you're playing. So I enjoy that. And then, yeah, you have the different maps. Like you start out with like Niflheim. And the only reason I'm familiar with some of these two is because of God of War, because those are the places you go in God of War. So like Niflheim is like the ice place where like the giants live. And then the next one you unlock is Muspelheim, which is like the fire kind of place, which I did play as well. And that one's harder. And then, yeah, you have the different difficulties too. So there's just a lot of variance with every run. And you can kind of, if you just want to do an easy run, you don't want to, you know, have too much trouble, you just hop in and do that. It takes like what, 10 minutes, and then I think every difficulty requires you to do it a little bit longer. I think normal is like 15 minutes if I remember correctly. And I also was not able to beat the normal mode. I got to the boss twice and died during the boss fight, unfortunately, because, you know, it really just like the damage starts to stack up at some point where you're like, if you get hit by like one thing, there's at least two other things that are right behind it, like about to hit you. So you really need to make sure you're using your dash at the right time. Make sure you're not being too greedy by going after a chest that's up in the corner that you probably don't really need at the time. So I enjoyed that as well. And then the things that spawn on the map, like the those events that kind of pop in that you get to choose, you know, the difficulty of. And like I said, there's chests that pop up. There's also in Muspelheim, if I'm saying that right, probably not, but there's like a mortar kind of thing that's just spawns on the map and starts just shooting stuff at you. So you have to go find it, and it's marked on the map and you have to destroy it. So those pop up randomly as well. So I just really enjoy like the variance with every run that I had. I felt like there were exciting moments every time I was going through a run. And of course there's always like in these games, there's always like small little lulls of maybe like up to a minute where you're like, okay, like I've kind of cleared out all this stuff. Let me just go and collect some crystals and collect some coins. And then all of a sudden things start to amp up a little bit more. So I enjoyed that. I also think they did a good job balancing the skills. I never found like any of the skills I had were like super overpowered, which I feel like can easily happen in games like this, specifically like a Vampire Survivors. There's skills I always choose because I'm like, those are just, they support the way I play and they make things so much easier. I found like I needed to kind of keep paying attention in this game. You know, other than those small little lull moments where I can pick up some crystals, but when enemies were actually coming, I had to be smart about which direction I was going to go, when I was going to use my dash, when I was going to use my class ability. I did also have the same settings as you where it's like the auto fire and the auto aim, whatever that is, just because I felt like that's another kind of variance you can have where if you want more control, you can go ahead and do that. But I didn't want that control. I'd rather the game kind of handle that for me so I can, you know, hopefully make things a little bit easier. But yeah, I think this game just does a lot of things really well. But it's kind of funny because, yeah, it's not really bringing something incredibly new to the table. But I feel like the gameplay, it feels really rewarding regardless. And yeah, I had a pretty good time with this gameplay overall. I'm excited to try out some of the other weapons as well. I wasn't able to unlock any of the other weapons. I did unlock all the characters. I will say I do like Revenant the most. The last one is Flame Sisters. I actually thought that one was like the worst one.
Oh, interesting.
Flame Sister. I think it's Flame Sister. Yeah, it's probably just because of the way I play, but I felt like I needed to be too close to the enemies and I just didn't. I don't like that. And I'm not a berserker where I feel like I have a lot of strength. So I didn't really have a lot of health, I think, with the Flame Sister. So yeah, Revenant was definitely the one for me because you get a little range on them. The wolves are great. And I like the upgrades that you get with that class too. But this is also, I believe this is early access, right? Mm-hmm. Still, yeah. So I don't know if they're planning to add more classes, but so far so good with the, you know, the variants and the different ways you can use these classes in the game. I had a good time.
Yeah, it was very fun, and you know, we'll talk about story briefly, but there's not much other than this is themed and inspired by these Norse mythology, and you know, that's totally fine. These games never really have much story, and I didn't really expect any, especially in early access. So, yep. I mean, unless you have anything else to add, I don't know if there was really any story to be told here.
Hold on, sorry. I'm just trying to fix the gameplay. Yeah, there's not, I mean, I was trying to show in the beginning, they kind of have a few things that it says about kind of setting up the story a little bit. Let's see if I can get back to it. There we go. Just for the YouTube listeners, YouTube watchers, listeners, whatever, even Spotify. So they kind of, you know, just kind of have some text in the beginning here that kind of explains the setting that you're in. But yeah, there's not really much more after that. There's not really dialogue or anything like that that happens even when you get to like the boss phase and all that sort of stuff. But there's kind of that inherited story, right? Because it's the Nordic mythology or Norse mythology. So if you know about that, which like I said, from God of War, I was like, oh, I recognize this place. This is cool. But the game's not really telling you a story. It's more of just the atmosphere of it that kind of tells the story. So yeah, not a lot there from the story aspect if you're looking for that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I did bring up the early access roadmap that I just found. So early access version available now, 4 playable classes, 2 maps, Niflheim and Muspelheim, and the 4 gods. So the 4 gods that you're able to update or upgrade for their abilities. The first update, which is coming very soon, will have the 3rd world added, which is Jotunheim. Ooh. And a new god. So another god abilities to be able to upgrade. Update 2 will be more weapons and another new god. Update 3 will be a new playable class with a new world and a new god. And then the final major update for 1.0 will be a 6th playable class, another world expansion, another new god, and then endless mode. So
nice.
Nice little tight little package there. It seems probably within.
Clip that. Somebody clip that for him.
It's a nice little roadmap for us all to look at. and you know, I can see this being 1.0 within a year. Based on what we just saw there. Now, in terms of, you know, other things about the game, the visuals, I've already kind of mentioned, this game looks great, right? This looks like a high budget game. And, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel in any kind of way, but the character design's awesome. The enemy design's so cool. You really get a feel for the flavor of this game through its art. And also you can tell what these abilities do based on the way they're color coded. And it's just really neat. And you can, like, even with the enemies, like at one point, there will be like a glowing red enemy that will start flying at you really quick. And you're like, this thing's probably going to explode on me. And it does. So like, it just is little things like that. These nice little visual cues for you that kind of lend to the enjoyment of the game, especially when you're first starting off. Like I said, the character design is so cool. I love the map design. It looks really slick. And I didn't really have any qualms. I mean, things get busy, but I didn't even think they would get that busy. So really liked it. Like the bosses and the mini bosses were really the coolest part when it came to the enemies, right? You're killing like a lot of like ghosts and skeletons and goblins and stuff like that off the, you know, when you start, but when you start to see the bigger enemies, it is a lot cooler. So big fan of the art style here. It feels like not a lot different from a lot of the big budget games that you see, even AAA games. And to be honest, if I was not keen to what this game was and I saw the logo, I would have thought this was a Dungeons and Dragons game, because it's like the same kind of font and then the red text with the white text underneath, because it looks like every single Dungeons and Dragons like player handbook I've ever seen. And I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, D&D is awesome. So big fan of this art style and how this game looks.
Same here. I think if I saw this game without knowing it was indie, I wouldn't assume it was indie. I would be like, this could be like a AAA, kind of Survivor-like. So yeah, I agree. The game looks fantastic. Even the menus, like when you're choosing your characters and everything, just really great design there. The characters look great. Enemies look great. I do really like when those bigger enemies come out, because some of them, you kind of have like quests for them. They like just come out of the fiery depths of the ground and, they start chasing you, which is cool. And then obviously the bosses that you, I don't know if there's more than one boss. I think I just said the Jotun was the, or the Jotun, whatever, was the one boss that I came across. So I don't know if there's more of them. But yeah, map design was great. I also felt like the maps, at first, kind of looking at the mini map, I'm like, this is kind of a small map. I wonder if this is going to end up being a problem with the amount of enemies that come. But I didn't really have any issue with that at all. I do think the UI is good, too. There's only one small thing with the UI that, maybe it's just me, but for whatever reason, I would really like, in the bottom left of the game, you have your bumper abilities and your health and your XP. I don't know why. I just would like that to be like centered. Maybe. I don't know. That just like kind of bothered me. I'm like, why? I feel like everything else is good, but why is that just in the corner? I feel like it could just be centered, but maybe that's just something that, it makes it easier to see kind of the enemies coming from the bottom of the screen or something like that. That's totally fine, but obviously not an issue. So everything art wise with the game, just they knocked it out of the park. I think it looks fantastic. It almost just reminds me of like God of War. Like this could just be a, cause God of War looks fantastic as well. This could be like a spin-off game for God of War if I didn't know it. They did a fantastic job. I love the colors as well. Like you're seeing them pick up, and you kind of mentioned this a little bit, you're seeing them pick up the XP crystals, and then, Thor's attacks is right. It's all lightning. So you're getting that, that blue that looks really good. And then you got like some kind of poison attacks. You got like Loki's attacks as well that I think are mostly like kind of green. So they did a good job with kind of helping you identify like what attacks are going on. It doesn't get so busy where you're like, I don't even know what's happening right now, which can happen with these sort of games. I think they did a good job with the art for all the different attacks and the upgrades. So not really any notes other than that small little thing with kind of the UI. That's not a big deal at all. I think they did a good job with that. I guess one thing, I'm thinking about it, this isn't really on the art side, but I did find it odd that in the game you buy or you collect gold. And then when you go to the skill shop, you have to buy your skill points with the gold.
Oh, weird.
I would just like, because there's nothing else for you to buy, as far as I know, with the gold. So I just thought that's more on the gameplay side. That part is just a little weird, but I guess you couldn't really have, I mean, unless you automatically kind of converted the gold to skill points after your run and it just did that for you. But maybe they're planning to have, you have to make a decision. Do you want to buy skill points or do you want to buy, a cosmetic for your character or something like that with the gold? Maybe they're planning on doing that at some point too. Yeah. Even though it kind of wasn't in the roadmap, but that would be kind of a smaller update. But yeah, art was great though in the game.
Yeah, I guess like when you max out on all your skills, you'll just be like gaining all these gold. So there's probably going to be some other use for it.
Yeah.
Mechanically there. But in terms of the sound and music, I thought it sounded great. The music wise, it was kind of generic adventure fantasy style music. I wasn't like blown away by it, but it was totally serviceable. I really liked the sound effects, though. They all sounded pretty clean and satisfying, and you know, it played well. It wasn't the most exciting set of sound effects and soundtrack, but it wasn't like it didn't take me out of it, and it didn't immerse me in it more, if that makes sense. So like, it was all totally fine, but there's nothing super positive or negative to say about it. So, which I think ends up being a net positive for a game anyway. It doesn't always need to be the all-star, right? But it could definitely improve a game experience, but if it's just serviceable, it's not going to take away from the game experience.
Yeah, I agree. This is actually something that I had to go back to the game and be like, what was the music? Because as I'm playing, like, it didn't really make a big impression on me. And like you said, that's because it wasn't so amazing, and it also wasn't terrible where I noticed how bad it was. It's just kind of like a middle of the road sort of soundtrack, which, you know, personally, just for the theme of the game, it would be great to have some really epic, awesome music that does make an impression. I think that would be kind of like the icing on the cake for a game like this. But, you know, like you said, it's not anything that really takes away from the game. I thought it was totally serviceable as well. And yeah, I had no issues with the soundtrack. Love the sound effects, just like you. Everything is really satisfying to kill. You know, the different abilities you get also just sound great. You know, when you got lightning strikes coming down and you're tossing axes and all that sort of stuff is just sounds really solid. So didn't have any problem with that at all. But would like the music to maybe be a little bit more epic, but it's definitely not a necessity in a game like this.
Yeah, it is what it is. But let's get to performance. It is early access. I didn't really have any issues. I did play this on Steam Deck and worked totally fine. I don't know if you got a weird loading screen. Like
booting the game up?
Like booting the game up where it was like the RGBib or whatever.
No, I didn't get that. Maybe that's because it was on the Steam Deck. It has maybe some weird thing. Yeah, I don't know. Is it Steam Deck verified? You know,
that's a good question.
Yeah, I think it usually says on the Steam page. I don't think that it is actually.
I don't think. Yeah,
that could be why.
But
yeah, not yet.
It worked. That was just like a weird thing. But yeah, didn't have any other real issues other than that.
I didn't have any issues. I played on PC, and then I also kind of streamed it to my TV downstairs and played with controller. I played with controller as well for all my playthroughs, so I'm not sure how it plays with mouse and keyboard, but honestly I think it's a game that they recommend you play controller with anyway. I had no issues whatsoever with the performance. Also, just want to point out too, I don't know if we mentioned this, the publisher is Grindstone, who also published Preserve.
Yeah.
did we mention that?
No, I was going to mention it because,
you
know, I was just like interested to see what else they made, but
yeah,
Preserve, which, you know, if you remember, it was a certified fresh juice. Now we have to decide if this is a certified fresh juice. As we say, if the juice ain't worth the squeeze, we'll tell you. But if it is worth the squeeze, we'll also tell you too. Our rating system is as follows. Certified fresh juice. These are games that, you know, we think are great. These are things like Norp Apalar, Preserve, Balatro. A steal after that, things like Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. And then On Sale, a lot of games fall into this. These are games that maybe wait till they go on sale. They're not perfect, but, you know, they have redeemable qualities. These are games like Hellskate, Wizard with a Gun. And then you have, after that, Manager Special. These are games that are kind of really specific genres that, like, maybe we're not into, but we also don't think the games are that good anyway. They didn't really capture us. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games that we don't recommend for anybody. Matthew, Juice, what is your rating?
My rating for Jotun Slayer, Hordes of Hell, I'm giving this a strong steal. Now, the only reason I'm giving it a steal and not a certified fresh juice, because I do think it has elements that bump it up to a certified fresh juice, is just because I didn't get a lot of new with the game, right? Like, I don't feel like it really, it just kind of, I don't want to say perfected, but it really improved upon things that we had already kind of experienced with other games. But there wasn't anything in the game where I was just like any kind of jaw-dropping amazing moment where I was like, wow, this is awesome. But solid steal, absolutely. I think it's worth the price of what, $10? And I'm curious to see kind of the roadmap as well. Who knows, maybe at the end of early access I'll be thinking this is more of a certified fresh juice based on their updates, but I'm giving this a solid steal, Tommy.
Yeah, so I think if I was judging this game as like somewhat of a complete game, which it kind of is, I would say a steal as well. Now, within the lens of early access, it is performing like a certified fresh juice, right? This is pretty great for early access.
Yeah.
And the fact that the roadmap is pretty clear and cut, that it's just like a lot of content updates, makes me pretty excited for the game. But I'm going to give it a steal as a game. You know, when I see this, I'm like, maybe they could have waited just for 1.0. I don't think you necessarily need to do early access because this is pretty complete. You could have just waited a bit, but I understand sometimes you need the funds. So really good. I mean, I think what really carries this is it is a step for this genre in the direction of what will eventually be kind of the bigger budget stuff. This could have been a major release on a lot of different platforms or studios. So I think this is a nice, you know, if we look at this history of these survivors, like, I think this will probably be viewed as kind of that first step into the direction of like big budget survivors likes. Now, I also will say, I didn't even buy this on its own. I bought it in a bundle with Deep Rock Galactic Survivors. So if you were waiting to get that, I was like, ooh. Oh, you know what? I was waiting to get that. I'll just get both. So you get a little extra off on that, which was neat. So, a very cool game now.
Yep.
What are we doing next week? We are doing Orcs Must Die Death Trap.
Yeah, should be an interesting one. We've never played the Orcs Must Die games, but this was actually recommended from a buddy of ours, Pat. He asked if we were planning on playing it, and I didn't even know it was coming out. So, should be an interesting one for sure. I know that's a pretty well-respected franchise, I'd say. I hear good things about Orcs Must Die, so we'll see how it is.
Yeah, when does it come out? It comes out the 28th, so tomorrow, the day before this comes out. So we'll be out and we'll be playing it. It'll be kind of interesting. This is like a four-player multiplayer.
Yeah.
I wonder what the price is going to be.
I don't know. I mean, because it's Orcs Must Die, I'm hoping it's not too high, but I guess we'll see. And we'll
free-to-play, right? I mean, it could.
It could be, yeah, for all we know.
That would be so sick for us and for you, the viewer. Now, we do have some listener questions. These can be submitted on the Fresh Juice Discord. Please check it out. First one comes from Eugen, who asks, what is the first game you remember playing?
This is a... So I don't remember if it was... I don't know. What I remember is that one day my dad came home with a Nintendo 64, and I didn't know what that was. And I played Ocarina of Time. So I don't know if that was the first game or if I had a Game Boy Color before that. And maybe I played Pokemon Yellow and that was my first game. I honestly don't remember. I'm sure there were probably some baby games or something I played, or maybe it was like Putt-Putt on the computer, Pajama Sam or something. But the memory that always comes up when I think of that question is the Nintendo 64 with Ocarina of Time. But that might not have been the first one. That I actually played. But what about you, Tom?
The first like video game I remember playing, like I definitely remember playing like Pajama Sam, Putt-Putt for sure, Freddy the Fish, all certified classics. But the first video game I remember playing is one of two games. So our youngest uncle had like a Sega. So I remember playing Primal Rage.
Okay, yeah.
The like dinosaur fighting game.
Yeah.
I remember playing that. And then I also remember playing some Sonic, like classic Sonic the Hedgehog. And then on his computer, I definitely remember playing Duke Nukem. Mm. Like the original Duke Nukem. So, but the first game I remember owning is a Game Boy game called Dr. Franken, which was like a Frankenstein platformer, which was like, so I think like I got a Game Boy Color as a reward, not even as a gift, as a reward, because I used to suck my fingers like this.
I did not know where you were going with that for a second.
I used to, as a kid, I had a finger sucking problem. Yeah. And my mom was like, "You want a Game Boy? Stop sucking your fingers." And I quit cold turkey. I was like, "All right, say less. I'm off the fingers, Mom. Give me that Game Boy. My life has never been the same." There so Dr. Franken, I don't know if it was Dr. Franken 1 or Dr. Franken 2, but there were two Dr. Frankens. Might have been Dr. Franken 2. It looks a little bit more like familiar to me, I think. But yeah, it was a cool game. And then I shortly after that got a Pokemon, and the rest was history.
Yeah, what was your first Pokemon color?
Blue.
Okay.
Because our friend Bags had red, I think. I remember. So I was like, I'll get blue. And version. Blastoise. Big man Blastoise. Yeah. Next question comes from Kaymor. How many of you and your friends would it take to eat this monster of a bagel? This is like a monster bagel from O-Bagel in Hoboken, which like... I get some problems with O-Bagel.
Go ahead. Lay them out.
Well,
I've never even heard of it. So.
Oh, they're always like on TikTok or whatever, like showing like, look at this delicious bagel we got. And yeah, it's called Taylor Ham. And you're just like,
they're one of blocked. Those people. Yeah.
But this, those mouth breathers. oh, geez. It's pork roll, goddamn it. And I'll fight you. But this monster bagel is huge. It's giant, but I could eat it alone, 100%.
You think so? Alone?
Sure.
It's pretty big. I mean, it looks good. I mean, you know.
It would take me a while, but yeah. I could do it, I think.
Yeah. I think I could probably split it with somebody. But it's just the I'm not worried about the insides. It's just the bread, all that bread, you know. That would keep me from finishing it. But also, yeah, this is also one of those things where like it's probably not the best tasting bagel. No. You know? Yeah, because like it's one of them ones that is on TikTok and they just it looks crazy. I remember we had ordered something from some place. I don't even remember it, but it was basically half pizza, half calzone, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was. I saw it online, and I was like, we should try this.
Oh, yeah. And it didn't, like, hit the mark. I mean, like, it was fine, but I was also just like, those things are better separately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so going with the bagel, giant bagel, you know, just give me a regular bagel. But, yeah, I could probably... take half of that bagel, I'd say, and give someone else the other half.
I'll do the other half.
Okay. All right. Fine. There we go. That's our next episode.
Yeah.
The whole thing. 1 hour to finish it.
But down with O Bagel. Anyway, next question comes from Capolo. You are in charge of creating the next crossover fighting game like Smash Bros. Or PS All Stars Battle Royale. You have the budget to pick three IPs. To source your characters from, which IPs would you pick and which characters will be on the cover?
All right. This is a tough one. So I'm going to just choose the three IPs that come to my head here I'm looking at this list as well of just a bunch of game IPs. I'm going to choose Star Wars. I think that could be cool. Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings.
Okay. All right. Which three characters are you featuring on the cover?
On the cover, we're going to have Darth Vader. We're going to have Harry Potter.
Okay.
And then we're going to have Gandalf, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, those three. We'll just go with those. I don't know why. I don't know what the moves would be. But that's what I'd choose.
Man, I was going indie game on this.
Oh, I should have probably done that too.
No, but the movies are good too. I was going to go Hollow Knight being one of them. Yeah. And then I think you got to get some silly going on in there. So like Enter the Gungeon being a second one. And then a third one, maybe like, geez, I don't know. Like Slay the Spire or something like that, like a lot of cool badass characters.
Yeah.
And then you'd have the Silent from Slay the Spire on the cover, and then the Hollow Knight on the cover, and then whatever, you know, one of the bullets from Enter the Gungeon. Mine's not as good as yours. I think I would play the hell out, like I would just like main Lord of the Rings characters and just dunk on the other ones all the time. I'm just like, no, these movies aren't as good. Don't even try. Don't come at me.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be good. It'd be good. You know, I think if anyone's out there listening that has those funds, make it happen.
Yeah, Captain. That'd be cool. Thank you, Capullo. Next question comes from R. Carp, who asks, if you got dropped into a video game world a la Minecraft movie, which one would you want to go to?
This is a interesting one because a lot of the games I play, I don't want to live in that world. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be that mad at like Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Cause like, I feel like I don't have a lot of responsibility and I could just go around doing basic stuff and it's cozy, you know, it's kind of cozy. I could just, all I got to worry about is like, you know, paying off my mortgage eventually. It's not like mm-hmm. it's a 30-year mortgage. It's like whenever I have the time, you know, whenever I got the bells. And then I just decorate my house and kind of chill, go to island, you know, meet some cool people.
You can sell anything. Anything is sellable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, be like, oh, today you're taking double for, you know, a bench that I can make with like two logs. Yeah, I'm gonna just make a bunch of benches. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cool. So I'll go with Animal Crossing, something a little cozy.
I'm going to stick with the animal theme here. I'm going to say Animal Well.
Oh, God.
Because there's something about the the vibes in that game that, I think if you just leave everything alone, you'll be fine, right? Like, the ghost dog isn't going to chase you if you're not messing with the ghost dog. And I also feel like all of the water in that game would be like the water vial that the water boy has in the movie The Water Boy and starring Adam Sandler and Kathy Bates. And it'd just be the coolest drink of water of all time. You're just like, oh, I was just so satisfied.
High quality H2O.
Yeah. So I think Animal Well. So
nice. There we go.
Good question.
Animals.
We're a bunch of animals. Now it's time to say goodbye, but first we have to take a stop at the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie video game. And this week I'm recommending a song, a new single from one of my favorite bands, Lord Huron. I have a tattoo from that band. That nobody's ever seen. JK, it's underneath my right arm. It's somewhere.
Join the Patreon. You'll see it.
They are coming out with a new album soon. They just put out a single for it called Who Laughs Last. It's featuring Kristen Stewart. Yes, the Kristen Stewart.
Is it?
Yeah.
Twilight.
From Twilight. And wow. Other things. And Zephora. No. The Jumanji space game movie?
I don't even know. Xeno Warrior Princess.
What the heck was that?
Oh, wait, wait, wait. What, Xenophobia?
No. It's a movie. Space Jumanji. Oh, Zathura, a space adventure. It's a banger. It's got Kristen Stewart in it. I think Dax Shepard, Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, I think I've seen that movie.
Yeah, this is popping back in when did it come out? 2002?
Yeah, how do you spell that? Oh, Zathura. Yes, I've seen that. This is triggering memories. I remember, I think Josh Hutcherson got like, he's got like sucking, he was like going down like the wall, like a floor, getting like sucked out into space or something.
Okay.
I think it's from that movie. Good for him. I might be totally wrong, but
I probably sure. It makes sense to me. yeah. So if you don't know Lord Huron, they're kind of a folksy, sometimes psychedelic band at times, and they really like to do these concept albums that kind of really tell a little bit of a story within the whole album, and kind of have a lot of these themes and motifs, these musical motifs and stuff like that, and this is clearly going to be one of those, because it's a lot of music and Kristen Stewart kind of narrating something. So with the actual whole band coming in for like the chorus and stuff like that, with like a really sick like guitar riff in the background. So yeah, Who Laughs Last by Lord Huron featuring Kristen Stewart of Zathura.
There you go.
I just searched to find the name of that, just Space Jumanji.
That's what came up.
Yeah,
amazing. I love it. For me, I am recommending, actually it's a mod for an indie game. It's called Nitrox, and it's for the indie game Subnautica. So I actually just played this with some friends, because those of you who know Subnautica, fantastic indie game. Definitely one of the best like survival games that's been out. I'm very excited for Subnautica 2 that's coming out. Always been single player. Subnautica, or the Nitrox mod, adds, it's in alpha currently, but adds multiplayer to it, which was a lot of fun. I played with our buddy Pat, our buddy Matt, and my name is also Matt. So there were two Matts and a Pat, but it was a good time.
How about that?
How about that? Wow. but what you need to know about it, though, is that you have to, like, there's like a legacy version of Subnautica. So I don't think it's like the most updated version that you're able to play with the multiplayer. But it wasn't perfect. There were a few issues that we had to end up kind of doing some workarounds for. But most of it, for an alpha, was pretty good. And honestly, Subnautica has always been a game that I've always wanted multiplayer in. I think most people that have played it always wanted multiplayer. For those that don't know, it takes place on a planet that's just all water, so you're underwater basically the entire time, and it's so good. So I recommend, if you're a big fan of Subnautica, you got some friends that really like it too, try the Nitrox mod out. It's Nitrox. I think if you just search Nitrox for Subnautica, you'll find a download for it. And it was fun. It was cool. So it makes me very excited for Subnautica 2, because I think they're planning multiplayer for that one. So that'll definitely be a day one buy for me. But yes, a lot of fun, and was good to get back into Subnautica as well. I haven't played it for a few years, so kind of reminded me of how much I love that game. So yeah, it's a good one. Check it out if you like Subnautica.
Sweet. Check it out. And that's going to do for the show, folks. You can continue to find me on socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Big old 6-hour episode coming out this week. If you want to know about every single card in the new Flesh and Blood set called The Hunted. And you can check us out on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Feel free to join that Fresh Juice Discord as well. Always down to hang in there. And there you go. That's where you can find me.
Amen. Amen. As we always say, if the squeeze ain't worth the juice, tell you we will. Goodbye.